Welcome to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show, a real estate investment program. Listen and learn how to use real estate to build wealth and passive income streams for you and your family. We bring you experts every day to discuss and answer your questions on everything from single-family homes all the way up to 600-plus unit apartment complexes. And now, the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show.
Welcome to the show. My name is Al Gordon, and as always, I'm working on your financial freedom. But on today's show, I'm a little bit more sober than that today. On today's show, I'm emotional. I am very emotional today. And here's why. Like you, I've been turning on the TV, and I've been seeing what's going on in the world. And I'm not talking about inflation. I'm not talking about the stuff I usually complain about on this show. What I'm talking about is what is going on in Eastern Europe. You know about it. I know about it. I don't think it's right. I'm confident you don't think it's right, but we feel a little powerless, don't we? We feel powerless to be able to go out and help people that we think we need to help. You feel that way, don't you? I know I feel that way. I'll tell you what, I'm choking back the tears right now. And here's why. I've been looking at a picture that I posed for about 10 years ago. This was the second time that I had gone into the nation of Ukraine as a United States soldier. And I was there specifically at the behest of the United States State Department. I was there with another guy who was my right-hand guy, and we went specifically into Ukraine to teach them some things militarily that they weren't doing. Exactly. And you're probably thinking, okay, so what is it the Ukrainians were doing that you went and taught them that maybe that's becoming a combat multiplier on the battlefield today? We taught them two things. The first thing we taught them was the value of your team. Yeah, your team. The same thing that I tell you about on this radio show day in and day out. You have to have a solid team to be a real estate investor. Don't be the guy that is one-stop shopping, that does everything. You know, Dick Van Dyke's one-man band, remember that? Don't be that guy. That's not effective. That is definitely not effective. The way for you to be effective as a real estate investor is to build a team. And 10 years ago, I went to Ukraine specifically with that mission. I went to Ukraine specifically with the mission to help the Ukrainian military build their team. So what do you suppose I went there with? The knowledge that I brought that, in Al's opinion, might have helped the Ukrainians transform their military to become the better fighters that they are today. The Ukrainians were never like the best fighters in the world, but I'm watching them on TV going toe-to-toe with the Russians, and they're holding their ground. Now, there are a lot of military experts out there that would say that advance should not have been repelled. The Russians should have just rolled right across the Ukrainian defenses and rolled right into their cities. But that didn't happen, did it? No, as a matter of fact, the Ukrainians resisted. And I think the one thing that became a combat multiplier for them that I was specifically there to teach them was how to make their team even more effective than it was. Now, I didn't go there with a bunch of weapon systems. I didn't go there with RPGs and Javelin missiles. I didn't take any of that stuff with me. What I did take was a couple bottles of California wine with me because I thought that was a good gesture to present to my counterparts that received me there. Yeah, and they gave me some really excellent vodka in exchange, which, by the way, the Czechoslovakian government seized from my luggage when I went through their checkpoint on the way back home. But that's a different story. So you want to know what I taught the Ukrainians. You want to know what wisdom that I imparted to them that, in Al's opinion, makes them a more comprehensive fighting machine. Well, what I taught them was how to place value on your soldiers. I taught them that within the ranks of their army, of their navy, of their air force, they have highly capable and competent people in those ranks. But the way they're organized now, you never get the opportunity to develop that talent. As a matter of fact, you don't even get the opportunity to identify that talent, because the way you do military is the way the Russians did military for many, many years. Yeah. Yeah. And you didn't know that, did you? You didn't know that Ukraine at one time was part of Mother Russia. You didn't know that, did you? Yeah. See, Ukraine is one of these nations that came about when the Soviet Union kind of crumbled. Yeah. Back when President Reagan said, "Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall." And I'll tell you what, Reagan helped them tear down that wall, which created a lot of countries that had been essentially occupied by Russia into new nations, re-emerging nations. Now, they're really not new nations. They've always were nations. They were more like an occupied nation, right? They were governed by Mother Russia. And now all of a sudden they're not. So a lot of these countries needed a lot of help to get on their feet. Because when you walk away from something called communism and you're trying to do something called free enterprise, but you have no experience with free enterprise, but you bring in people from all over the world to share with you free enterprise, you kind of get overwhelmed. You do. You get overwhelmed. But Ukraine went about the task of becoming a free and democratic nation. They value their freedoms. I know this firsthand because I've actually been in Ukraine. I mentioned that earlier a couple of times. I was there when I probably wasn't supposed to be there, but I was there anyway, helping them to solidify their freedoms. Yeah. Now, I'm not going to take any credit for anything. No, I take absolutely zero credit. I was just a part of the team. Yes, I was a part of a different team that was sent in to help that team. And the team that I went in there to help them develop, it's called the Non-Commissioned Officer Corps, the greatest combat multiplier in the world. When we come back, I'm going to explain how all that works. Stick around.
You can't be financially free if you're psychologically imprisoned by disabling belief systems.
Are you ready to break free from your disabling belief systems about money, real estate, retirement, and financial freedom? Then join us for Lifestyles Unlimited's live online free workshop. Learn the belief system that thousands of people like you have used to break free from corporate America and create the lives they have always wanted. Register at LifestylesUnlimitedFreeWorkshop.com.
Welcome back to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Now, let's get back to your map to financial freedom.
Welcome back to the show. All right, so I'm looking at a picture of me about, 10 years ago in a military uniform. I actually looked pretty good. For a guy in his 40s, I actually looked pretty good back then. Actually, it was like 10 years ago, I was in late 40s. So I even look better. How's that sound? But in this picture that I'm looking at, not only am I standing there, United States Army soldier, one of my non-commissioned officers that I served with proudly, his name is Sergeant First Class, well, then Sergeant First Class George Salinas. Now he's a master sergeant. I think he's under consideration for promotion to sergeant major because that's just the way George is. He's that good as a non-commissioned officer. He deserves to be a sergeant major. I mean, I saw that talent in him when he was a sergeant first class. That's part of the reason I handpicked him to go with me over to Ukraine to teach them something that they didn't know, something that was going to help them develop their team, something that would hopefully become a combat multiplier for them so that if, God forbid, in the future, they were put into a situation where they had to either defend their country or do something else, kind of like what they're doing right now, that they would be much better at it than they were before George and I got there. So here's what we did. I'll just tell you what the mission is, because it was classified back when I did it, but it's 10 years old. If the State Department wants to give me a call and ask me why I'm talking about this stuff over the air, I'll be more than happy to go in their little closed room and tell them all the truth. It is what it is. I don't think anything I'm sharing with you right now is classified. I absolutely don't believe any of this is classified. This is actually United States Army Doctrine 101. Yeah, the stuff that I went to go teach the Ukrainians was how we do it as United States soldiers. See, everybody in the world that goes into armed conflict, they notice that there's something a little bit extra special about those Americans. Yeah, other than the fact they're kind of wacky and wild sometimes, and you can't predict what they're going to do. Those Americans, man, when they put steel on target, they are effective, they are lethal, and you don't want to mess with those guys. And let me tell you why. I'm going to give you the why as to how the United States military is so effective, especially when we don't have the civilian government tying all of our hands behind our back. Because that happens too. Trust me, that happens too. One of the things that we learned a long time ago in the United States military was that leadership is ultimately important. You have to have solid leadership in your organizations. Now, back in the day, I'm going way back in the day. Okay, back in the day, like prior to the Civil War, we're going way, way back. Okay, we're actually going back to Revolutionary War times. The American military was organized into essentially two classes. You had the officer class, and you had the enlisted man or member class. The officer class was normally the aristocracy, the folks that had some more money, the people that could buy a commission. You know, they could say, "Hey, Congress, I've got $100,000 that I will give to the war chest. Why don't you make me a colonel, and then I will go out and find a bunch of guys to go fight for me." That's kind of how it worked way back in the day. I'm serious. That's not how we do it now. But that's how it was back in the day. So you had an element that was focused on leadership, that had command and control authority, and then you had everybody else that did what those other people told them to do. Now, here's one of the problems that happens. If I was, let's say I was a colonel 150 years ago, and I'd gone to Congress and I'd bought myself essentially a military unit, because that's kind of how it worked. I would have all of these people eventually that I would recruit into my unit. And all of these people would do exactly what I told them to do. Because now that they are conscripted, now that they are members of the military, military law applies, and I actually have a whole lot more control over them than I did when they were just mere civilians. But there's an even bigger problem. Think about it. A colonel probably had some captains working for him. I mean, that's really the way it worked out. If you were a colonel, you found yourself some guys to be some majors. You had some captains. You had some lieutenants. That was your organizational command and control sphere of influence. But let's say you had, like, I don't know, 500 or 1,000 people under your command. That's a lot of people for, say, a handful of people to command and control. One of the things that we figured out along the way was that there were enlisted soldiers that actually had a lot of brains. A lot of brains. I didn't mean that facetiously. It probably came out really like a jab, and it wasn't intended to be a jab. What it was a recognition by the officer corps that there were people in that enlisted corps that actually knew what the heck they were doing. And as a matter of fact, if you gave them some authority and you supported that authority and you gave them a mission and told them to lead that mission, they would lead that mission. And they'd probably get a better result than you would have gotten had you led that mission. And the non-commissioned officer corps, it was born. See, that's the one thing that we have in the United States military that most militaries around the world don't have. Now, a lot of our NATO partners, they got it because we've gone over there and we've taught them this stuff. I mean, they're NATO partners. That's part of the rules, right? But when you have a place like Ukraine, a former Soviet bloc entity that is trying to emerge from the Soviet bloc. And they gave up their nukes as a goodwill gesture to the free world that they wanted to be on the other side of the fence. And now they're in this terrible predicament where Article 5 doesn't apply because they're not a NATO member. Therefore, guys like me and all of my allies, we can't go in there and do anything about it unless, of course, the Russians are dumb enough to cross NATO lines. And the Russians are not dumb enough to do that. What the Russians are doing is they're trying to reassemble Mother Russia. That's what Putin wants. Trust me. I've studied it. Every general you see on TV, they've studied it. We know what's going on. We know what's going on in Putin's head. We can't change it, but we know what's going on. But Putin, he still organizes his militaries the old way. The way where you have officers and then you have a bunch of enlisted people that do the work and no command and control element in between. Now, this is what I think the Ukrainians have done. I think they took heart. I think they took heart to the information that George and I took to them over 10 years ago. See, when we showed up, we presented them with a concept that was, I mean, we might as well have been explaining how electricity works to a caveman. Yeah, that was kind of their approach because they had never, ever had non-commissioned officers. Now, they had the ranks. They had people wearing the rank, but the people wearing the rank didn't have the same kind of authority that a non-commissioned officer has in the United States military. We come back from the break. I'm going to tell you about George choking me out in front of a bunch of Ukrainians. That's a good story. Stick around.
Lifestyles Unlimited member Kirby talks about his experience at the two-day Financial Freedom Seminar.
2008 was my first full year as a financial advisor. 2009, stark contrast, my paychecks went down about 80%. I started looking for avenues to grow my wealth, grow my income. I found Lifestyles Unlimited. I joined in 2010. I started investing in both single family and multifamily. Between 2010 and 2015, I bought 5 houses. The two-day class, they teach you to buy 4 houses to make your first $250,000. I bought 5 and I made about $60,000 each. That was another $300,000 that I made because of real estate.
You've heard us and our members on the radio. Now join the Lifestyles Unlimited team in a city near you or online from the comfort of your own home for the Financial Freedom Seminar. GiveMeTotalFreedom.com. Use promo code 2022. Save 60% off the regular price, plus get a second year membership for free. Register now at GiveMeTotalFreedom.com. Limited seating, unlimited potential. Register today at GiveMeTotalFreedom.com.
Warning. Listening to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show will change your life. We will teach you how to create wealth and passive income so you can be financially free. And now, back to your host.
Welcome back to the show. All right, if you're a military service member, you know that what I'm about ready to tell you is the God's honest truth, especially if you've gone through combatives training. So when you do combatives training, the intent of combatives training is to teach you how to dispatch the enemy in hand-to-hand combat without necessarily being lethal. Yeah, it's the idea is you get them in your grasp, you control them, you choke them out. Essentially, you cause them to pass out. And when they pass out, their body goes limp. I mean, it's if you've never choked anybody out, you don't know what I'm talking about. But if you have, you know exactly what I'm talking about, right? That moment where all of a sudden you got resistance, 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 and then boom, nothing, right? Okay, that's how you know you've choked somebody out. But the way we do it in the military, the way we're supposed, let me just qualify that. The way we're supposed to do it in the military is if you're being choked out by another member who's wrestling with you, essentially doing combatives training with, it's a one-on-one thing. It's man on man or woman on woman or man on woman or whoever the two people are. Okay. So the thing is, if I'm choking you out and you know you're getting ready to go out, what you're supposed to do is you're supposed to just tap me. And that tap signifies, okay, this guy's going out, release. Don't actually make the guy pass out. Release. Okay. That's the standard by how we train. But here's the problem I had with that standard when I was training soldiers. And I know this firsthand because I had a lot of soldiers that used hand-to-hand combat in the effects of war. Okay, so I took what they told me. And by the way, these were non-commissioned officers that were telling me this. And they told me, Al, well, actually they said, sir, because I outranked him at the time. All right, let's get back to what we're talking about, choking people out. Because that's all real estate related, right? One of the things that we modified was if I was teaching my soldiers to choke somebody out and I wanted them to understand what it feels like, because there is a muscle memory thing that occurs when you choke somebody out. There really is. And you cannot replicate the same feeling as a body that's giving you 150% resistance going to 0% resistance in a heartbeat versus, and even if they're faking it, I mean, you can't fake being choked out. You can't fake being knocked out. There's a total difference. Trust me on this. Anyway, so that was my point, though. My instructors came to me, all non-commissioned officers, and these are guys that were teaching Army combatives because that's one of the mission sets that I had in the United States. And my good friend Sergeant Major Billy Wilson, he's actually the guy that came to me with this idea. He said, "Hey, sir, when I was in Iraq, I had to start teaching all my guys to choke me out and actually have me pass out." And I said, "Well, you know, that's not how we're supposed to do it." At that time, he was a master sergeant. I said, "That's not how we're supposed to do it, Billy. We can't do it that way because, you know, bottom line is people are going to complain and it's against the regulations and stuff like that." And Billy just said, matter-of-factly, he said, "If people don't know what it feels like to have somebody go under while you're in conflict with them, the time for them to figure that out is not when they're actually in harm's way." Boom, there it was, right in my face. Harm's way. Billy was making a very point. Now, this is a non-commissioned officer, a member of my team, who's telling me, "I understand what the standards are, but the standards are too weak." And because my job specifically was to prepare soldiers to go into harm's way, because heck, we were at war, I may have done something that my commanders may not have appreciated, but I was willing to take that risk and take the butt chewing or take any negative consequences of modifying how we train, because all of a sudden a non-commissioned officer explained to me that we weren't as effective as we could be. That's the way we trained. Now, here's the thing. Anytime we allowed a trainee to take somebody to the place of choking them out and actually having them go out, it had to be one of my instructors. Period. End of story. End of story. And no instructor got choked out unless there were two other instructors in the room on the mat to make sure that everything was going to be okay. That was my risk mitigation. Now, how does this tie in with Ukraine? When George and I, then Sergeant First Class Jorge, that's technically how you pronounce George's first name. I just call him George because it's so hard to say Jorge, although it's beautiful when you say it that way, isn't it? All right. So George and I, we go over there to Ukraine, and our mission is to explain. We're teaching a room full of the top-ranking non-commissioned officers that are in the different forms of the military. Okay, so I had Navy personnel. I guess they had Marines. I'm not quite sure if they had Marines. I wasn't 100% sure who was who. They had Air Force personnel. They had Army personnel. So I had a room of about, I would say there was like 60 to 70 of these cats in this classroom. And I've got them for a whole, literally 2 weeks. And my job is specifically to get it through their heads that they are not puppets. They're not pawns. They are highly useful and intelligent members of the military system that actually bring a whole lot to the table, and we need to appreciate that. Yeah, that's kind of where I went. So I had, first of all, I had to break through their class system, okay? And their class system says, yeah, I might be the top-ranking non-commissioned officer in the Ukrainian Army, but we still do the parliamentary game, so as a result of that, I'm no better than a private. That was the mindset I had to break with these guys. You know how I broke it? We did a combatives demonstration for these guys. Yeah, George and I, we're standing there in uniform, and we realized that we weren't getting through these guys. Yeah, because I had two interpreters, and I always had one interpreter listening to the commentary in the room. Okay, and then when we take breaks, I'd have her kind of give me a feedback as, okay, what are you hearing in the room? Because I want to hear the dissenting voices, which I heard, but I couldn't understand because I don't speak Russian, I don't speak Ukrainian, or any of the other languages that might have been floating around in the room. And one of the things that I figured out was that these non-commissioned officers, they weren't buying it. They weren't buying what I had to sell because they couldn't understand how... First of all, a non-commissioned officer could be as bold as we were telling them they could be without getting in severe trouble. Yeah, you heard me correct. Severe trouble. Because they weren't necessarily allowed to voice their opinion. Yeah, well, they could voice their opinion, but they weren't allowed to do certain things because the officer had all the power. So George and I looked at each other, and George said, "Hey, sir." I said, "What do you want, George?" He says, "I'm going to choke you out." I go, "What? What do you mean you're going to choke me out?" He goes, "Sir, the only way these guys are going to understand that you're a human being is if I choke you out." And I said, "All right, let's do it." So we went ahead and we transitioned into a seminar on kind of like hand-to-hand fighting. And George was explaining some of the different basic positions that you want to move into when you get into hand-to-hand combat so that you can take control over the enemy. So he was demonstrating a particular choke, and he got me in the position, and I could feel him bearing down on my neck. Now, normally I would tap, but I didn't tap. I went out. I went down. Now, George, he knew exactly what happened. And even though I didn't have two other Army instructors in there making sure I was okay, I was in the hands of somebody that I had routinely placed my life. So I didn't have a problem with this. We come back from the break. I'm going to tell you what happened. Stick around.
Del Wamsley's Real Estate Investing Worst Case Scenario.
Let's say the Democrats took away all tax deductions away from real estate like Ronald Reagan did in 1986. In 1986, we had stock market crash, a real estate value crash. The world came to an end for 3 months. Why? Because he took the value away from owning real estate for people who used it as a tax break. People like myself who got started in 87 go, you know, you can really buy this stuff cheap right now. In fact, I can buy it so cheap, I can rent it and make a 20% return. Cap rates were 20%. I buy a building and I made 20% of my money without leverage. If I put leverage on it, I made 30 or 40% return. Ungodly returns. Right now, you can earn less than 1% on a savings account. So do you think I hope that happens again? Yes, I do. In 2008, when the world crashed and cratered, I bought real estate 50 cents on the dollar. I said, well, what happened to the stuff you already owned? I kept it. It stayed full. We rented it. We made money.
Don't let the fear of losing money hold you back from making money. Join us for the next live online free workshop. Register at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com.
Welcome back to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. It's time to turn up the volume and fine-tune your passive income plan so you can create the lifestyle you've always wanted.
Welcome back to the show. All right, so here we are. We're in Ukraine. I got Sergeant First Class, now Master Sergeant Jorge Salinas. I just call him George. So George has got me in a chokehold. He's bearing down on me. I'm trying to resist. I am, but he's got me in a position I can't get out of. And I'm starting to feel the darkness come over me. Now, at that point, I'm supposed to tap him, and I'm supposed to let him know, okay, man, don't actually have me pass out. Because I guess there's some medical concerns when that sort of stuff happens. So all you doctors out there, just I am not recommending anybody do this to each other, okay? We were trained professionals. So that's what I'm explaining to you is what trained professionals were doing. All right, so let's get back to me getting choked out. So I'm going out. I feel the darkness come over me, and I went out. Next thing I know, I wake up, and George he's kind of got me cradled a little bit. I mean, kind of like a baby, kind of has me cradled like a baby. Yeah. And I'm looking up, and all I see are all these Ukrainian military men standing around looking at George and I. And you want to know what the interpreter told me later? They were so concerned that George had killed me, they were actually plotting ways to hide George so that the officials wouldn't come get him, because that's the number one no-no in the Ukrainian military back then, 10 years ago. You do not do anything to an officer. You do not put your hands on the officer. You don't do anything. The officer is God, right? That's kind of the way the officers are treated in the Ukrainian military, well, at least 10 years ago. And that's what I was there to show them. I'm a human being. I was willing to allow my fellow soldier to put me out, to demonstrate a point to other members of the military that I wasn't concerned. George has always had my back. The entire time that I served with him, he always had my back, and I always had his back. That's what a team is all about. And that's what we were trying to convey to the Ukrainians, was that those non-commissioned officers in that room, they all have value. They need to start recognizing that they have value, and they need to start drawing a line in the sand with their leadership, and they need to start communicating with them. And conversely, we were telling the officer corps, because I actually had time with the officer corps, and I would just rake them over the coals. Okay, not in a bad way. But what I would explain to them was that they have this beautiful thing, this capability that's at their fingertips. They're not using it. I think today that one of the reasons that the Ukrainian military has been so successful repelling the Russian forces is that I think they actually took the information that we took to them to heart. Because the Ukrainian military, as I knew it when I went in there, should not have lasted this long. Now, they should have folded. And it doesn't matter how much aid and arms and munitions and stuff you send to them, they're only as effective as they can be based on their actual level of effectiveness. But because we introduced something called a non-commissioned officer corps to them, we taught them how to do it. And I know there were repeat visits after my time on target had gone. There were more people that were going in after me to reinforce that training. And that's your lesson today, folks. It's all about the team. It's all about the team. Everything that you do in life, it's all about the team. There is no I in team. Spell it, T-E-A-M. Where's the I? It's not there, is it? Okay, now somebody actually showed me that if you use block letters and you look at the A, if the A was a block, that technically right in the center of the A, you know, where the little dot would be in the middle of the A, that would, okay, you could see an I in there. Did I take your mind there? Okay. There still is no I in team. No. And one of the things that we're going to teach you when you come to Lifestyles Unlimited, we're going to show you how to build an effective team. Del Walmsley, when he founded Lifestyles Unlimited 31 years ago, that was one of the core elements that he recognized was so important to your success. See, Del realized very quickly that you only have so much capability by yourself. The way for you to develop capability is to build a team of competent, capable people around you. Yeah, that's what all the generals did that I worked for. And I guess I was one of the capable, competent people. Maybe. I don't know. But at the end of the day, that's what real estate investing is. It's you being a leader. Yeah, you heard me correctly. You will be a leader. Now, you might be sitting there going, dude, I don't have leadership skill sets. I mean, I'm a type B person. I'm into my spreadsheets and stuff like that. I knew military officers that were just like you, type B people that were more comfortable in their spreadsheets. But you know what? They learned how to lead. They did learn how to lead. And even though they liked the spreadsheets more than maybe the leadership stuff, they were still good at it and they were effective at it. So, why don't we start training you now to change your life? Why don't we start doing some of the things that we need to do for you to get you to a place that you want to be? Now, you may not know exactly where you're going. You may not know what that horizon looks like, but you do know one thing. Your current situation is not working for you, and you think it needs to change. I get that. I've been there. I've done that. That's no different than the Ukrainians. Remember, their current situation at one point wasn't getting them where they wanted to get to, and they needed to change too. And they brought people in to their team from outside of their team in the form of George and Al. See, we became a part of the Ukrainian team when we were there. Now, we were not NATO allies. No, not by any stretch of the imagination. But we were on that team. We were there to make that team more effective. And you can do it too. We'll show you how. Now, I will admit, it starts with education. If you didn't figure that out from the whole narrative of today's show, everything starts with getting the information that you need so that you can make the adjustments that you need to make. And that's kind of what George and I did. We went to Ukraine 10 years ago to teach them something that they weren't doing, something that we got a little resistance on, but I think they embraced. And I think they're getting results today based on the fact they did something in the past that created success for them today. And that's what I'm encouraging you to do. I'm not saying go be a mercenary in Ukraine. Now, there are some people that would be very good at that job. I actually know some of those people, and I think some of them are actually on their way over there right now. That's not where I'm going. You're either happy with the direction of your life or you're not. It's as simple as that. If you're happy, all is well. If you're not happy, well, then, Houston, we have a problem. If you're not happy, you need to figure out why you're not happy. What is it that is causing your unhappiness? And in many cases, unhappiness usually comes with the knowledge that you've been trading time for money for so many years, and you're not getting to where you thought you were going to get to. And maybe you've made it about halfway through your lifespan, and you're nowhere closer to what you thought was going to be a very lucrative or very successful career. You just feel like you're churning. Or maybe you're like me, and you had a significant financial catastrophe that occurred to you, and all of a sudden, financially, you're just melting down. You're just bleeding money. And you realize that that's got to stop. Well, I'm here to tell you, when you join Lifestyles Unlimited, you're going to be joining a whole bunch of people that have been there, done that, got the t-shirt. I could probably count the number of Lifestyles Unlimited members that I've actually met that invested, that they came to Lifestyles for the education and the networking and the mentorship and all that stuff, that didn't have a significant financial meltdown or some other problem that caused them to take action. So if that's happened to you, you're going to be joining a whole bunch of people that have taken that corrective action. And if you're ready to get started, go to lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com. Get signed up for a free workshop and let's get you programmed into success in the future.
Del Wamsley on how to live the lifestyle.
If you have a deal that loses 20%, you have a deal that makes and loses nothing, and you have another deal that earns 20% and another deal that earns 100%. Do you want to put $1 in each one of those? No. What you want to do is figure out which one makes 100% and put all your money there. You might diversify a little bit into the 20%, you know, profitable deal. But you don't put your money in something that earns nothing, and you don't put your money into something that loses money. You just don't do it. And they said, but you don't know what will and won't go up and down. And that's the whole point. Your financial planner is an idiot. He doesn't know what he's talking about. I do. And so I'm not going to listen to people that are stupid and put my money where stupid people put their money. Rich people put their money where rich people know it's going to make a lot of money and they can control the situation. That's the reality. Never lose money. A lot of people like that mud on the wall. If you throw enough mud on the wall, something has to stick. Maybe. Maybe it does, but after you've lost 10, 20, 30, 40% of your money throwing the mud on the wall, how much does the rest of that money have to grow just to get back even? Well, if you've lost 50% of everything you earn, you have to earn 100% on that next deal to get back to even. You haven't made any money yet. You got to get back to even.
Thank you for listening to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Ready for more of the map? Visit lifestylesunlimited.com. Explore our videos and articles. Click on the radio tab to access past show podcasts. View the radio show schedule and listen to our best of radio shows. Want to continue the conversation? Follow Lifestyles Unlimited on Facebook today. Join us next time. And until then, remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle.
Information and opinions you hear on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show are those of the hosts, guests, and callers and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.